The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Flair, shallow center, base hit. Marte's being set. Here's the throw from Perkins. It is going to be in time! Fly ball to deep right. It is back. Soto back. Out of here! And a fly ball to right. This is hit well. Back is Reynolds. Track, gone! Sal Frelick goes big fly for the ninth time this year, and the Brewers lead it 1-0.
Kicks into the windup. Skeens 3-2. Drilled deep, right center field. Watch this baby, way up and out. Goodbye. Oh, what a price bomb that was.
Everybody in Milwaukee can get some burgers from George Webb if you guys pull off
God,
this week.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, I will. I think I'm going to keep that to myself.
Majewski kicks, delivers, and a liner down the right field line. It's going to roll into the corner. Ortiz is home. Frelick around third. He will score. A two-run single from Wild Bill. And a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Would you like fries with that? 12 in a row for the crew. 12-5, your final. The Brewers with their second longest winning streak in the regular season in franchise history.
No, it was fun, but seriously, I wanted to win those burgers bad, for sure.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Stomp your feet, clap your hands, you're part of the team sitting in the stands. Come see what's brewing, come see what the good times are.
Come see what the Brewers are doing, come on and cheer a superstar.
Oh, he's got it, ladies and gentlemen. The guy who can't shuffle a deck of cards.
Now my hands don't work that well.
Has figured out the clap sequence for this song. I, you know what? I had full confidence in you that you'd get it by the end of the show.
Can we strike that from the record? My hands don't work very well. That seems like problematic given my job.
Your hands? I'd worry about your mouth and your brain more than your hands.
That's true. I do use that board, though, 3 hours a day. Requires my hands. So.
And if we're going to worry about the brain, well, that ship may have sailed.
Well, hold on a minute. My brain works. I never said it worked well. I never said it worked well, but it works. This goes back to our normal conversation.
Totally.
I'm not normal.
Baseline. What's baseline?
I'm a weird dude, man.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit that, but.
From a self-awareness standpoint, you're way above normal.
Oh, I believe that's the most important human quality.
Oh, totally self-awareness. Agree. Wow, we are in lockstep on that.
I'm enjoying working with you this morning.
You can be the weirdest weirdo that ever existed, but if you know that, you move through the world differently than if you're oblivious to that.
Yes,
fact,
correct.
Right?
Now, I hate to admit this out loud, but sometimes I believe Josh DiMaggio knows me better than I know myself. Josh, would you describe me
Joshy, to be honest with you, Josh, this is a quality that you have. I think you know most people better than they know themselves.
He figures people out.
I pride myself on being perceptive. And, I mean, I knew he was going to talk about magic again and started playing it before he could even say the word, just the previous segment.
That's true. That's called chemistry right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm learning.
You're working your way through
Joshy,
this theory.
Would you describe me as a self-aware individual?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think you have qualities that make people think you aren't self-aware, but you just lean into them.
I have heard the word delusional used to describe how
Hey.
I'm just being honest. I have heard that word.
Me?
I didn't say that it was
fair
or accurate.
Oh,
it's
accurate.
You fully understand you believe in yourself more than any. It's probably the quality that's gotten you to where you are now. Is you never
got in trouble, too.
You've never seen a situation where you go, well, I can do that.
Other than shuffling cards, no. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Chris, weighing in on the YouTube stream, says, clapping to that beat might be Strofe's most impressive athletic feat from the evidence that has put out there over the last year or so.
Yeah, that's probably true. And the sad part is it hasn't even been 6 months yet. That three-cone drill was
that's
5 months ago.
The draft, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Feels like
the combine, rather. Excuse me.
A lot has happened since then. But Yeah, no, it hasn't even been a year, and you know, the home run derby, and what else have I done, Josh? Just, I've failed at everything miserably.
First pitch.
Oh, the first pitch is probably worse than the combine. That was more embarrassing because it was in front of so many people, where it didn't just get posted on the internet. But anyway.
Well, yeah, and you could see the results.
But you know, the internet is infinite, right? Like,
yeah, that's never going to go away. My kids, who are non-existent, are eventually going to see that and be like, Dad, what the hell's wrong with you? Well, son, take a seat, because we got all night to go over that.
And I got something bad to tell you about yourself.
Yeah. Let me explain.
50% of you, buddy? That's me.
Let's have a conversation about how genetics work, all right? This is going to be a long one. I did see this stat when I was reading up on the Brewers that said the Brewers scored 33 runs in the series against the Pirates for their fourth consecutive three-game sweep. They're averaging 8.6 runs during the 12-game win streak. They are doing everything right. That from Adam McAlvey, who does great work as the beat reporter for your Milwaukee Brewers on the MLB.com app. 8.6 runs per game.
Yeah.
When we have talked about this Milwaukee Brewers team, Strofe, we talked about the pitching. Mm-hmm. We talked about the starting pitching. We talked about the bullpen that was so strong. I'm going to be honest with you. At no point were we like, this lineup can mash. Right? Am I wrong? Tell me, I could be wrong. Maybe there was a point where we were like, this is a team that could lead the league in runs per game.
You and I both know you're not wrong.
I know, but I wanted you to tell me it anyway.
Do you remember before the streak started, the Brewers couldn't score runs at all? When they turned it around, I think there were three games under 500 at that point. There was conversations, like, there's a Ben Bruss tweet that basically you can delineate between the bad Brewers and the unbelievable Brewers. Mm-hmm. Where there were streaks of scoreless games where it was like, this team has absolutely nothing. And then they had that conversation that you referenced earlier, Jen, I believe. And seemingly, I mean, they're putting up football scores now. There's
yeah,
14 going
to be 0 the other night. Yeah.
There will be a streak where the Cleveland Browns do not score 26 runs.
What a ricochet.
26 points. I assure you that. There'll be a 2-game streak.
Yeah. They're 19th in the league in home runs. So it's not like it's the sexiest, quote-unquote, brand of baseball, because they don't hit a bajillion home runs like the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Angels,
but
right?
Isn't sexy in the eye of the beholder?
Oh, this is a sexy team. It's just not conventionally sexy.
There it is.
Right? I mean, they're 19th in the league in home runs, but boy, are they disciplined when they get on base. They're the fastest team in baseball, the best team in the MLB at stealing bases. I mean, they do so many things fundamentally well, and that goes back to the credit Pat Murphy deserves, and the rest of the coaching staff, of course, Matt Erickson, Chris Hook, etc.
Well, in infield hits, we had talked about that, but I even looked the other day because there were a couple of times where they legged out a double, and I was like, I'm just going to look for funsies, S's and G's, if you will, to mm-hmm. see where this team ranks in extra bases. It's like 25th. In extra bases, which means they're getting on and they're staying at first and then stealing second or getting moved over, right? We're not talking about guys who are driving it deep, right? I think it was even Yelich yesterday who hit it into shallow right, and I was like, there's the Brewers right there.
It's just it's what they do.
Meanwhile, every once in a while, you get a big bomb.
Yeah, like,
right?
Well, what day is it today? It's Thursday, so Tuesday night. When they had, I mean, Sal Frelick leadoff of Paul Skeens was just
huge,
about as
enormous,
amazing
absolutely.
As it gets, right? And Bryce Tarang went on that little run where he was hitting home runs. So they can get hot. But I think the fun part about this team is they are capable of the timely hit. They've proven that time and time again. And that's something that gives me so much faith come the postseason, because I think this team, unlike teams past, not only are they amazing defensively and probably better than they've been defensively in terms of their discipline, they don't make errors, their pitching is so good. But when it comes to the offensive side, they get the timely hit. If you need a hit, it might not be a home run, but somebody's going to get on base, or they're going to hit a double down the right field line. And that's just something they've done time and time again all season. That gives me faith that, yeah, this thing's sustainable, man. When it comes to the postseason, they might not hit the home run like Pete Alonso did to them last year. But, you know, they might lay down a bunt. They're going to find ways to get on base. And like I said, they're the fastest team in baseball. They're so well-disciplined. They just find ways to capitalize on runners in scoring position, which is what makes this maybe not conventionally sexy, but boy, is it fun to watch.
So Paul Hambakidis, who works for ESPN, yeah. is on Get Up. We affectionately refer to him as Hembo, was talking about the Brewers yesterday, and he had an impressive distinction for them. Take a listen to what Hembo has to say about your Milwaukee Brewers.
They lost on May the 17th. at which point they fell to four games under 500, and they have proceeded to win 53 of their next 72 games while outscoring their opponent Buster by 148 runs. They feature the best manufacturing lineup in all of baseball. They lead the major leagues in run scored during that time at 5.6 runs a game, but they rank only 15th in the league in scoring via the home run. So, of course, they rank first in what I'm calling manufactured runs. So those are all runs that you score, not by way of the home run. They've built the deepest team in baseball. They have seven hitters that meet the following criteria. A 110 OPS plus with at least 300 plate appearances. They have seven of those guys. No other team in baseball has more than five of those guys. But it goes beyond just the lineup. So I'm looking at the Baseball Reference WAR table. They rank inside the top eight in a 30-team league in WAR from their starting pitchers, their relief pitchers, their catchers, first baseman, second baseman, outfield, and DHs. All right, you add it all up, only the Phillies as a team have produced more WAR. The Brewers have the best rookie starting pitching class in all of baseball. 30 starts to a 3.05 ERA, a 1.17 whip, with 175 strikeouts and 153 innings. That's an excellent starting pitcher. That's what Milwaukee this year has gotten from Chad Patrick, Jacob Mizorowski, and Logan Henderson combined. David Stearns has walked out that door, and so has Craig Counsell, and so has Corbin Burns, and so has Willie Adames, and so has Devin Williams. These guys are a regenerative machine.
Huge. And Joshy, what did you call Hembo? It was a great.
He is the preeminent baseball nerd.
Totally.
Sure is.
He loves
baseball, loves the traditional baseball, loves the history of baseball, loves everything about baseball, and he is all in on the Milwaukee Brewers and the way that they are winning. Run manufacturing machine, unparalleled roster depth, best crop of rookie starting pitchers, and oh, by the way, guys, we haven't even talked about the farm system. We haven't even talked about some of those guys that they have down there who are just phenomenal, who have been impressing. And I know people always talk about, you know, let's wait and see how they perform at the big leagues. But right now there is proof of concept for this front office, Strofe. There is proof that they identify talent, that they can take a guy and say, we really like what we see in him. If we get him with our pitching coach, we get him with our hitting coach, whatever the case may be, we believe this guy could be a top player in Major League Baseball. And it is such a testament to the success of the franchise overall that all of these pieces are working in concert together.
Something that you wouldn't see unless the Brewers were playing as well as they have been and are stacked at pitcher, specifically starting pitcher, as they are this year. Chad Patrick at one point, I think, was the betting favorite or second favorite in the National League to win Rookie of the Year.
He was the favorite.
He's been in AAA since July 6th when Brandon Woodruff returned, and they haven't brought him back up. And I think he had the most games pitched prior to that point for the Brewers. And he's just sitting down in AAA. They might bring him back up at some point, but they don't need to. That's how good they are. It's absurd.
I do think it's been interesting. This 12-game streak has coincided with, of course, the manufactured runs, as he talked about. But, I mean, Bryce Terang goes up to bat and just hits home runs now.
Mm-hmm. Bryce Bomb.
William Contreras has started to hit home runs again. Andrew Vaughn.
Wait, what are they calling him? Slick Will? Big Will? Big
Wild
Bill?
Bill.
Wild Bill.
I knew yes. I had the W and the B, the Will and the Bill, but yes, they're calling him Wild Bill.
Like the manufacturing runs raises the Brewers floor every single game into a sort of productive level. But then when they tack on one of those guys being hot and actually being able to manufacture the easier run, that's when they're putting up the football scores, the 14s, the 12s, the 8s. Like, that's what's really been the big difference to me in this 12-game stretch.
We will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. No top 8 at 8, I assume, because no Gabe Neitzel. Oh, man. Sad.
I'm not sad about that segment.
I take that personally. That's definitely, that was a shot. That's what that was.
That was a shot.
I don't know,
exactly,
Alex.
What it was.
You know. That was a shot at me is what that was. Look at Josh. He's stretching out. Back. There's like,
not
I'm
you,
just
all,
getting
all three
warm.
Of you.
Just getting warmed up here, Jen.
Just welcome. The three turns he works with
welcome
every morning.
Back.
That's all.
Three turns. Wow. I'm not inviting you back. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog, the corn dog for the
pierogies birthday. And borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht,
oh,
let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water. other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Reaction continuing to roll in on the Carbless talk and text line 800-990-3776. Mark in Watertown says, Brewers win by 1,000 cuts to their opponents. I believe that's also a Taylor Swift song.
I was just about to say, death by 1,000 cuts.
Boom. Taylor Swift obviously trending over the last 48 hours or so.
Worth your time. Worth your time. I'll just say that. Worth your time.
Strofe watched the New Heights podcast yesterday on YouTube and says you should also tune in. I love some of the clips that the people have been sharing about her football knowledge. We'll get into that if we can as the show rolls on. Chris says home runs swing momentum, but hitting is contagious. Once they get started, it is hard to stop.
Nailed it.
And Justin in Columbus reminds us William Contreras has been playing with that fractured finger most of the season. He struggled offensively, but he is finally hitting, which makes the Brewers even more dangerous. Keep getting us your reaction this morning to the Milwaukee Brewers 12-game win streak, and everybody in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, wherever you are. Somebody said, it's not for everybody in Wisconsin. No, no, no. You can travel to George Webb.
You can fly from Hawaii if you want.
You can come from anywhere to enjoy. If you're a Brewers fan in California, you're a Brewers fan up in the UP, you can come down to George Webb, and they will give you free burgers. You just have to get there. All right. Want to get to this, because I think that this is a topic of conversation a lot here in Wisconsin. Just how miserable the sports fan base can be. There's a PTSD. We talk about it all the time. Some people are immune to it. I'll be honest. I have come across people who are immune to the PTSD of we get so close and then we fall flat. The other shoe drops, all of those other things. Okay. So ESPN.com has put out a sports misery index quiz. And we're going to take it right here live on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with Alex Strofe.
Oh, boy.
Wisconsin, longtime Wisconsin resident, longtime, lifetime Wisconsin sports fan. Let's just see how quote unquote miserable Alex Strofe is. So let's begin. I'm going to just hit start.
Not very.
I'm going to walk you through this. That's what you think. All right, so we're getting started. Okay, before we get started, in general, how do you feel about your teams today? Remember, when we're talking misery, a high score is not where you want to be. Are you woeful? Are you flailing? Are you meh? Are you pleasant? Or are you elated?
Well, Brewers alone, I'm elated, but like Packers and Bucks, I would say I'm pleasant.
All right, we'll go to pleasant. Now we need a little info from you.
Oh boy.
Search for your favorite team. Let's go with Brewers now, since they are the talk of the town. We'll put Brewers in as the favorite team. And it's going to ask you, how long have you been a fan of the Milwaukee Brewers?
26 years.
15 plus is the option, so I will go ahead and click that. Well, you've really put some time into your team, it says.
Oh, yeah.
Complimenting you. The bot is complimenting you.
Thank you, bot.
You can add another team. Should we add them?
Go ahead and add Packers.
Let's add the Green Bay Packers to this. Green Bay Packers.
Same answer.
How long have you been a fan of the Packers? 15 plus years.
As long as I've been alive.
Would you like to add another team? Would you like to add the Milwaukee Bucks?
Since sure,
they
want
go a for title,
it.
Let's add the Milwaukee Bucks and just see Bucks. Again, you've been a fan of the Bucks for how long?
Yeah.
Lifelong fan of the Milwaukee Bucks. Any other teams? No. Let's see.
We'll leave
with those three. We've got the Packers, the Brewers, and the Bucks. Right now, it says that your misery rating is... It's calculating.
Oh, boy.
73%. And here is what? 73%.
Is that high?
You are flailing. Here's why. You're not at rock bottom. There's always a chance you could improve your fortunes in the coming years. And then it goes through and it's every single reason why the Wisconsin sports teams have their fans currently flailing. I imagine, and there's a lot of data here, guys. I'm not going to go through all of it here. It's like, I'll just scroll. Where's the camera? Scroll. The point is, they're saying that because the Bucks won a title within the last 5 years, there is a euphoria that still remains around the organization and around the fan base. Because the Brewers are the best team in baseball right now, there is also a euphoria. But then there is the Packers falling below expectations.
I guess that would be fair.
That is contributing to flailing. You can go team by team, league by league, and see where you are. But it's saying that your misery rating as a fan of those teams right now is a 73 or flailing.
That's out of 100, I would assume?
Yes. How do you feel about that?
Well, I guess I was expecting it to ask more questions about me specifically, because I feel like I'm more optimistic than most people are in general. I'm just kind of an internal optimist in general. What are you giggling about?
That's not what this is for.
I don't get it.
To say what your optimism level is. It's taking and it's ranking teams in their respective leagues on the amount of misery you had. So, for example, in the NFL, the Jaguars, Jets, Browns, Bears, and Raiders are the top five
most miserable
franchise. NFL. Yeah.
The Packers in that list are 23rd.
They are
behind only the Ravens, Niners, Broncos, Seahawks, Buccaneers, Rams, Chiefs, Patriots, and Eagles. And then if you apply that to the other team, Milwaukee Brewers, they're 14th out of 30. And the worst ones for those teams are, you could probably guess it, the White Sox, Rockies, Marlins, Angels, and Reds. So they're kind of putting them at middle level here.
Did you say where the Bucks were? 24th of 30?
24th. Sorry, I was talking with my mic off.
I guess I don't get why Wisconsin sports fans would be viewed that miserable, because they haven't won at all. Like, all three of these teams have been consistently in contention for, I mean, the better part of a decade.
So that's a really interesting philosophical question that you are posing. And
yeah, you know me, philosopher. That's me.
Philosophizer over here.
Yeah, you know me.
But we talk about this on a microcosm when we talk about, is it better to get blown out in a game or to lose? And we're talking about a big game, right? We're talking about like an NFC championship game. Or lose a heartbreaker by a couple of points. I think that probably plays into, if your team is close but hasn't taken that step. And again, with minus the Bucks, because we know the Bucks won a title, right? We understand that that did happen. That, I'm wondering how much they are weighing that in this misery index, Alex. If they are saying that maybe it's worse to lose by 2 points, lose on a last second field goal, than to be shut out in a big game. Maybe that's worse emotionally from a misery standpoint. I feel like if the Bucks and the Brewers and the Packers equal a flailing, according to this. And
why is that the word they use?
Because
I think of like wacky inflatable tube man, which I kind of resemble at some points when you say
you
flailing.
You said it, not me.
I agree.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like to me, it seems like they are prioritizing that sort of loss versus the alternative. Because again,
sure,
to your point, these franchises have been on the doorstep. These franchises have been close. They have been in contention consistently.
But I view that as momentary misery rather than at large misery, if you will, right? Because Packers season ends last year and the wild card ran to the eventual Super Bowl champion. I go, okay, well, Jordan Love will be healthy next year. They've got a shot, right? That's my mindset 2 days later. And so going into the season, I'm going, okay, well, I think this team can compete for a championship. I guess it will remain to be seen. Obviously, the preseason game wasn't a great indicator of that, but nonetheless, I believe this will be a team that's in contention.
What an interesting Rorschach test that has been, by the way, the preseason, right?
Like, yeah,
how much you value it, how much weight you place on it, how much you're, because you watch that game and I was going, this is not good.
No, it didn't look good. It was not pretty.
But then I have to push it through the prism of, it's just the preseason.
Just the preseason.
They're a vanilla offense and defense. Like, I have to like convince myself that, oh, wait, by the way, this is not an indicator of future success.
No.
Right? But watching it as a sports fan, I was going, ew.
Yeah, I mean, it was ugly. But I mean, I think a couple people have brought this up. Last year, preseason game two, the Packers lost 27-2. I didn't remember that, right? You kind of forget about it once the regular season kicks in. So it's not a great indicator, right, about that. But obviously you'd like to see improvement or flashy signs. And we talked to Jason last hour about, like, Lucas Van Ness. It seems like he's finally coming along. Will that actually be the case? I guess we'll
see. It kills me that you call him Van Ness.
Why?
Well, because it's Van Ness, isn't it? Isn't the N at the front of the...
There's a double N, yeah. It's two words. Van Ness. Did I say Van Ness?
Like multiple times.
Am I saying it wrong? Wait, hold on. Joshy, help.
Van Ness.
Ness. Van Ness.
You've done it for a while and I've just never said anything.
Van Ness. Well,
you're a bad friend. That's bad on you. I blame you now.
You're a bozo.
I mean, wow, you learn something new every day, I guess.
I'm actually enjoying this thoroughly. Why don't you guys just keep on continuing while I tell everybody about my experiences with Closets by Design. I don't know if you saw, I posted some pictures on Instagram, guys. I had my closet completely redone by my friends over at Closet by Design. Doug and his team were fantastic. Came out to my place, asked me what my needs are. And I got to be honest with you, I'm at the point in my life where clutter crushes me. I have a lot of clothes, been doing television for 25 years. That'll happen. You'll accumulate a lot of suits, a lot of dresses. Problem was, it was all too much. And so Doug and his team came out and gave me the closet that is going to alleviate that anxiety that I had when walking into my closet. It is beautiful, and they can do the same for you guys. They have been the leader in custom storage solutions since 1982, combining quality, beauty, and a true commitment to customer satisfaction. And yeah, they're in southeastern Wisconsin, which is awesome because that means they bring a personal and local touch, but they can really go anywhere in the Milwaukee area. So no obligation, in-home consultations, custom design, and the best value in the industry. If you are ready, like I was so ready, to get rid of the clutter in my closet, to have a more organized and beautiful space, call my friends at Closets by Designs in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it says.
That was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For your next big event, Noble Catering has to be your first call. Southeastern Wisconsin's premier craft caterer, preferred by over 30 venues in the area. And coming in the spring of 2026, Noble's new headquarters, Brixton's Turn, a 400-person event venue located in the heart of Bayview's Harbor District. And last but certainly not least, if you have any beverage needs for that upcoming party, Neat Beverage Catering offers mobile bartending to elevate that event.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Alex Strofe hanging out with me today and tomorrow. You'll be shocked to learn this is our first time doing a show together.
Yeah. I don't think it sounds like it. I hope not, at least. Or maybe it does. I don't know.
Jen's been good. You.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I'm sick of you. All right? I'm sick of you being a Richard towards me and bullying me just because you get enjoyment out of it.
Yep. You got that.
Nailed it.
I think the audience is entertained.
Look at you being perceptive all of a sudden. Hey, let's talk about it on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is help. Visit betterhelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. I got to tell you guys about the week that I have had. So Monday I was off because I woke up Monday morning with no voice. Now, we've been talking about this. Bad air quality, yeah. Right? There were the Canadian wildfires.
Bad air quality. Makes people's voice hurt. Hear that?
Why? Were you disagreeing with that, Joshy?
So I took a day off last Monday.
Same thing? Voice?
My voice was shot. I didn't have a voice. And now, truth be told, Joshy, you don't have to jump in yet.
I was going to say, I'm listening.
I did have a rather big weekend, which included a trip to our friends at Pottawatomie on Saturday night.
Celebratory.
It was a bachelor weekend for me. Lady was out of town, so I went to Pado. Let's just say I didn't leave until it was light outside on Sunday morning.
Whoa.
And I thought I caught up on sleep on Sunday. I woke up Monday, no voice. And so I texted when I called into work, and I texted Josh, and I said, hey, we're not going to do a show today. I don't have a voice. Wildfires are really getting to me. He said, buddy, that's not how that works. All right. Your body's just catching up to the hell you've put it through this weekend.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
I told him, as a subject matter expert who's enjoyed a few beverages, stayed out too late.
Sure.
I've blamed other things too. Well, so-and-so is sick. They probably got me sick, but I got myself.
But hold on. I did not imbibe. No. I did not celebrate at Pottawatomie this weekend. I literally have just been dealing
with. But you've been traveling?
No traveling prior to that. I mean, in and out. I do an in and out all the time. That's nothing to me. Leave in the morning, come back at night. Like, that's just a commute. But I had not done traveling prior to Monday, and I woke up Monday morning, no voice.
Oh, no.
So I was like, listen, I got to save it. Also, I had some responsibilities for ESPN on Tuesday that required a voice. So I was like, listen, if I don't have a voice waking up Monday morning, I try to go do and power through a radio show. How much worse is it going to be when I hop on the plane Monday afternoon to go do my ESPN responsibilities on Tuesday, right? I felt like, I got to really prioritize. I got to save my voice. So listen to this, you guys. I'm coming back from New York Tuesday night. Got delayed out of LaGuardia an hour and a half. Woof.
Oh, fun.
Right? Already, yeah. I was planning on being home at 9. Now I'm getting home at 11. Like, it's a whole thing. I'm on the plane, and I fly, as you know, all the time, up and down, ascent, descent, no issue, no problem. You know, the ears will pop a little, you drink a little water, we're good to go, we move on.
Mm-hmm.
I was in such excruciating pain My head was a vice, pounding, hurting. My ears were screaming. And I was like, okay, it'll last a few minutes, but you'll get over this. It was the most pain I've been in a very long time. And I have children, if you know what I mean. Right? Like, I was like, this is impossible. What is happening to me? So I did the old trick. I don't think I'm alone in this. I think sometimes your ears are bothering you. You got a little pressure buildup. You do the trick. You pinch your nose, you lock your lips, and you give a little push, right? A little push of air. And my ears popped.
Oh, good.
And I lost hearing.
Huh? You went deaf?
Both ears. I'm doing the thing where I'm snapping my fingers next to my head.
Well, you probably looked like a crazy person on the airplane.
Nope. Nothing there. Nothing there. And now I'm freaking out because I can't hear. So now we were descending into Milwaukee. So we get down on the ground. I grab my bags. I rush to the car. I'm driving home. I'm thinking, it's got to come back. It's got to come back. I'm out of the plane. The pressure has changed. It's got to come back. Didn't come back. I texted the group, what, 11:15 or something? I was like, listen, I can't hear. I'm hopeful that I'm going to go to bed tonight and I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'll be able to hear. This was yesterday. But no guarantees, right? No, I don't know. Woke up yesterday morning. I could hear out of my left ear, couldn't hear out of my right ear, went to urgent care. Doctor said, you have a double ear infection.
Oh, you're 6 years old again.
Apparently. What's next? Hand, foot, and mouth? Am I going to catch some lice? Like a double ear infection at 44 years old? What kind of...
Good for you.
What kind of kindergarten hex is this? So I am on antibiotics.
So you can hear me out of both ears right now,
100%.
Right?
I'm okay, good now. We're good. The hearing has returned. But I got to tell you guys, the fright that kicks in when you can't hear, it's... You don't realize how much of your existence is based on your ability to hear.
Yeah, someone your five senses.
Walking next to you, somebody, you know, in your vicinity, in your proximity. I'm not even talking about like, oh, something's going to happen. I'm going to get jumped or mugged or anything. I'm just talking about like normal interaction.
How was driving without being able to
hear? Weird.
Yeah, I bet.
Super weird. Yeah. And I'm trying to listen to the radio.
I was going to say, were you cranking the radio?
Cranking the radio, being like, how loud do I need it for something to start penetrating? But yeah, double ear infection led to hearing loss. Now, again, I'm sure this is one of those things they tell you not to do, right? Like we all do it, but
they tell you
same thing with Q-tips, right? They're like, oh, don't put Q-tips in your ears. We're like, okay, cool. How else am I going to
clean my ear now? Yeah.
Right. Am I like, I wasn't wrong in doing that, right? I was trying to fix the problem and it made it worse.
That's incredible. I don't know if I've ever met anybody that's not in elementary school that's had a double ear infection. This is one of a kind.
I looked up the stats. 80% of all ear infections happen to children, so you're 20%.
Good for you.
It's not as bad as I originally thought.
Which was like, what, one?
Yeah.
1% of adults.
Yeah. No, one person. Yeah. You.
I don't hear that often. I don't do the nose thing because I had it wasn't an ear infection, but I did that once to try and get rid of and like get the ears to pop, and it made it extremely painful. And I, not that I couldn't hear, it made hearing a lot more difficult, and it lasted for a long time. So now I got the jeeks about it. I don't want to mess with that at
all. Fair. I wonder if this is like a PSA for people out there. Like, you think, you know, you're doing the right thing, you're just going to relieve the pressure a little bit, and then all of a sudden, boom, deaf. Like, that was a wild ride for me. I'm glad that I have my hearing back, but it was, and then you're going, will it be like this forever?
Forever? Yeah.
Will I ever hear again? How will I
Did
do
you
my
spiral?
Job? A little bit of spiral, yeah.
Have you
when
guys...
I texted you guys, I was spiraling.
Yeah. Have you guys ever experienced sleep paralysis?
Not diagnosed.
Where you wake up and your eyes can open and you can see the room, but you can't
Body
move
can't
anything?
Move.
That is one of the most terrifying. And that's what that reminds me of, losing your... Like, when you lose that sense for that split second, you're like... Oh my goodness, what is going to happen here?
So the only time I've ever experienced that sort of body paralysis, sleep paralysis thing is when I'm midway through, I'm not awake yet.
Yes, that's
it's
when
like,
it's happened.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you weren't awake, paralyzed, like, why can't I move? You were sort of in that subconscious, just below conscious level. And yeah, that I have experienced.
I guess I suffer from partial paralysis at all times, so.
That's fair. Good joke on your own. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think I have.
What of your five senses would be the worst to lose?
That's a great question.
Even temporarily.
It's sight. Yeah, it's sight.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better about my...
Well, at least you could drive, because then...
Oh my God. Great point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you?
Stuck at the airport.
How are you getting
going,
home?
I think I remember this route. Let me see.
Let me see. Am I in aisle 14 or 44? Trying to get
the
off that plane.
The crazy thing is you guys are over here going, she would try.
Yeah, you would.
Jen would be like, I've driven home from the airport enough. I know this route.
I have a friend that does not have a sense of smell, which you
period?
Think, yeah, period. Which you think is like, oh, you could probably get by with that. But then they told me about the dangers of like the classic, we have a gas leak in our house.
Right, and my house is on fire.
Something's moldy. That there's like real dangers there that you have to prevent against because you're not used to being able to smell those warning signs we are all so accustomed to.
Good point as well.
How did this person lose their smell?
They just never had one.
Ever?
Ever. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. And all the time you go, wow, it's...
manufacturer's flaw is what that is.
That's exactly what that is.
Hey.
Can't wake up and smell the roses that way.
It's tough to be a positive poly over
there. I still make the mistake of, oh, do you smell that? Nope. I never have.
Well, you know what? Honestly, I think a lot of people dealt with that with COVID, right?
Yes.
I lost it for like a week. But
sense of smell.
And
which
taste.
Dramatically affects. That's the other thing. Uh-huh. Somebody can't smell. You can't trust their judgment on food.
Right. Yeah, you lose all credibility. I'm totally with you.
Yeah, you have an undiscernible palate at that point. The palate is, you need the nose to have the taste, I think. Listen, don't quote me on anything.
Can you
of this
lose
stuff.
Touch? That's a sense, right?
Yes.
Can you lose? Well, you'd have to be.
With reality, yes.
Yes, and people who've lost it frequently end up with injuries or burns and not realizing it because you're nervous.
Oh, yeah, you could just take stuff out of the oven and not worry about
well,
it.
Well, you can't.
Right, you just have your hand burned.
Well, you could.
Your skin still can't withstand the
oh,
heat.
Oh, I understand that, okay. But you could do it.
But you shouldn't.
I took some carrots out of the oven yesterday, and I made the mistake of putting it on, you know, a heat pad. And I grabbed the tinfoil and I went, oh my God, I just took that out of 450 degrees. That hurt.
Tell me again about your IQ.
Low.
We had that conversation earlier this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy featuring Alex Strofe this morning. We'll take a break here. Roll on right after this. Stick around.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. These days, I know it feels like there's advice for everything. You got cold plunges, you got gratitude journals, you got detoxes. How do you know what actually works for you? With the internet and all the information out there about mental health and wellness, it can be a struggle and overwhelming to know what's true and what actions you should be taking. But I can tell you, in my experience, therapy actually works. I've been doing therapy for 15 years. It has really helped me overcome some of my challenges, some of my past, things that I experienced as a kid, and I had to talk my way through them so that they wouldn't affect me now as an adult and as a parent. BetterHelp is an answer. It's convenient. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, and it fits into your busy life. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time. It's the largest online therapy provider in the world, so BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Look, for me, over the last few years, it was dealing with my dad's passing, so it was grief therapy. How do I move on in a world that my dad is no longer in? Maybe that's not what it is for you, but maybe you are carrying something. And if you are, BetterHelp can help. Our listeners get 10% off their first month with BetterHelp.com/timeout. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, because we are all better with help. Got to be honest, this has been fun, Alex Strofe. A little change of scenery, a little change of pace having you here with us this morning. I was going to check out our poll and see how people are responding to your magic. Your insistence that magic is at least partially responsible for the Brewers' success this season. Do you think magic is contributing to the Brewers' success this season? 75% of people are saying hell yeah.
Yeah, these are my people, Jen. Come on.
What a win for you. And since I just gave you a win, let's hand you a loss, shall
we?
Are you shocked that Alex Strofe cannot shuffle a deck of cards? 80% of respondents say,
yeah, no. Shocking to no one.
Not even.
I'm going to be honest. I think that's low. Given the athletic attributes I have put on display the last several months, That should be shocking at all.
You think it should be closer to 100%. You're like, why haven't you people been paying attention?
Right, exactly.
Clearly, I don't have the dexterity to shuffle a deck of cards.
It might not even be a dexterity thing. It just might be I'm a dumb thing.
No, I know dumb people who can shuffle cards, man.
I think it's a motor skills.
All of the above, yeah.
I am going to repost these tweets from our Infinity Exterior poll on mine. Let's see if we can get some of these numbers up a little bit here. Maybe the answers will change. We also asked, do you consider yourself normal? Shockingly, it's 50-50.
Really?
50% of people consider themselves normal.
Liars.
50% of people consider themselves not normal.
Liars.
We love a not normal folk over here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.